Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. It's really good to see you. I like to look around to see who's here. I was been here last night around 9 o'clock, and the Lord gave me a couple of faces and names. We'll see what we do with that this morning. And if that scares you, just listen to the message that I have to share with you first, all right? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to share the Word of God and be living in this time, because the Lord is doing some very unique things. And back just a couple of weeks ago, back on August 23rd, we were having our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And it's a tremendous time. We have people come, and we're praying, and we're seeking the Lord. We're going over needs that need to be covered in prayer. It's a very spiritual setting. This morning is a very spiritual setting, but it's a very spiritual setting in that the Holy Spirit can move, and we're free to speak, and we can flow in that. And you all believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Then he's alive, right? That means he wants a relationship with you, and he wants to be able to talk to you. Let's keep those amens coming. He wants you to be able to recognize his voice, because if you believe that he rose from the dead, if you believe that he died for your sins, and he wants this dear and precious relationship with you, then you're one of his sheep. And being one of his sheep, the Lord twice says in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice." One of the ways you know that you're his sheep is you can hear his voice. And his voice comes in a number of different ways, not just the way I'm speaking to you, but in that still, small voice. We're going to go over a number of things about that this morning, because what happened going back to the prayer meeting is the Lord gave me a prophetic word that night, a prophetic prayer. And, you know, we were just praying along, and I get stirred up in the Spirit, and I began to pray out and say out how that the Lord was going to be moving his people into a place of higher places of maturity, and that he was going to raise the roof. He was going to raise the roof, and he's calling his church in this hour to come into higher places of maturity. He wants us to grow up into things of the Word and of the Spirit, and not to remain on present spiritual levels where we are, but to have this hunger inside us that will move us toward him to seek his face. As Pastor Scott was speaking, not just his hand, but to seek his face and to go after him and desire him. And in doing that, he wants to be able to talk to you about your life and about your loved ones and about your friends. And so anyway, I'm giving this prophetic word and this prophetic prayer about the Lord is going to be raising the roof, and how that he was going to bring his people into a greater place of maturity. It is essential. After this series that Pastor Phil brought this last week, it is absolutely necessary that his bride, his church, keep maturing in the things of the Spirit and know that the Lord has more for us. I just saw here recently, just this week, just a couple days ago, that the red heifer that we've talked about before, now a calf, a red heifer calf, has been born in Israel. And you say, well, what's the significance of some cow? Well, that red heifer, according to the Old Testament, was used to, it was sacrificed in the ashes after they had burned everything. The ashes were used, mixed with various elements. It was to consecrate the priesthood and the temple and all the vessels of the temple. And that's interesting, because there is an element in Israel, they are absolutely determined to rebuild the temple. Now, for you and I, our temple is Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you and I are the temple of God. But for these Jews who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're still under the Old Testament thinking. And so they're going to think that they're going to rebuild the temple, and they're going to restart sacrifice. And to get that all started, they have to have the red heifer. So I just want you to understand that there are things going on, and time's a lot shorter than a lot of people realize as far as the end times and the coming of the Lord. And Pastor Phil did a marvelous job on bringing out those truths. So what I was speaking on that night, that prayer night, was that the Lord is going to be raising the roof, And then I look up and I suddenly realize that somebody sitting in that prayer circle is having trouble with their roof. Now, that's called a word of knowledge. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Lord gives words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, working of powers, gifts of healings, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, all of those spiritual gifts. I believe in them. I embrace them. The Lord's used them in me in those things over the years. And I suddenly realize that somebody here is having trouble with their roof. And I look up and I know it's Rob Blakesley. And I say something to Rob Blakesley about having trouble with his roof, and he thinks I've been talking to his wife. But I hadn't been. But sure enough, he's been having trouble with his roof. He's told me he had a ladder up against his roof. He's been trying to stop a leak. And I just knew that. I said, well, the Lord has taken care of that. You're going to not have any more trouble with that roof. The leak's going to stop. And then it rains. And it stayed dry. It has stayed dry. Now, you say, what's all that about? Well, you see, the sign, the word of knowledge, nothing that I knew about in myself, but the Holy Spirit knew, he can communicate that to me. And I'm just, I so want to strengthen the Lord's people and edify them and strengthen them that I'm willing to take the risk to say something in faith that I believe is from the Lord. Not something loopy or weird or crazy or anything like that, but just something simple like that. And the sign points to the thing that was said before, that the Lord is going to raise the roof. You understand that the sign was given of a word of knowledge about a leak on a roof, trouble with a roof, in order that the first word would be confirmed. The Lord is earnest about taking your hearts and minds and soul and spirit and bringing you into a deeper place with him. He wants you to be able to hear his voice and to be able to walk with him in new ways and new levels. Now, for a lot of people, this kind of is frightening to them. It scares them to think that God can talk to them this way. He can show them these things. But I want to encourage you to understand that this is actually normal Christianity. You find it in the book of Acts, and you find it throughout the New Testament, where men and women were operating by the Spirit and moving by the Spirit and lived their lives in the Spirit. And because of that, there were spiritual manifestations for them that resulted in the church being built up and edified. So the thing that I want to do here this morning is I want to encourage you from the Word, and we're going to start here in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's very important that we take a look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, in beginning in verse 11. And a vision, if poet Paul is saying in these verses, 11 through 16, is he's talking about the fact that God is wanting us to mature. He's not wanting us to stay where we are spiritually. He's wanting us to stay hungry for him, desiring him. Because the one that you and I are being conformed to, beloved, is Jesus Christ. And we're becoming more like him in heart, in mind, in character, in speech, in life, in conduct. And as Sharna said it so well, none of us here are perfect. But by the grace of God, we are seeking to grow and to change and become ever more like our Savior. And we can't deny that, and we don't want to negate that. We want to encourage that in the church because the days are short. So what we're going to do here this morning is I want to be able to read to you this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. And then I want to talk about some elements of it. So beginning in verse 8, we're told here that when the Lord ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. And then in verse 11, he says, and he gave apostles and prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What you heard and saw here this morning in this service, beginning with the worship team and all the way through with the children's ministry and youth ministry, all of those elements, those announcements were made by Pastor Scott. These are all expressions of the love of Christ coming out and coming through this church. And because of that, we are developing, we are growing. We are developing in a way that we wouldn't be able to develop in ourselves, but the Spirit of God is able to move us forward and to bring us into places we haven't been before. He wants to show you things you've never seen, tell you things you've never heard, and give you understanding about things you've never understood. Because He wants to use you in the lives of others. He wants you to become a source of inspiration, blessing, and comfort to them. He wants to move you beyond a position of being a child spiritually and to grow up in Christ. Paul talks also in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I conducted myself as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so there is really this growth that the Lord wants us to have, and it is a process. It is not something that happens overnight. You know, the joy of what we saw here this morning, moving up, I thought, well, Lord, that's my message, moving up, moving your people up. You're my class. You saw all those classes up here? They're moving up. You're moving up. And I'm your teacher this morning, and you're moving up. And you see, the joy that we have is seeing them little, and they just keep developing and keep growing. And those men, those young ladies and men that stood here will become full adults, men and women, one day. And this is what every parent loves to see. They love to see their children develop and grow and mature and change. So Paul is bringing this out. He brings it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Peter says that we need to keep growing. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, keep growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, or the Hebrew writer, tells us, and he's actually rebuking the Christians he's writing to. He says, well, in the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again of one to teach you the elementary principles of the faith of Jesus Christ. So there are deeper things the Lord wants us to move into, and without forgetting the former things, the basic things of our faith, like faith in our Lord Jesus, repentance toward God, the blood of the Lamb, you know, all of these basic things, the Lord wants you to go deeper so that if the Lord wants to give you a word of knowledge, you know what's going on. You're not scared of it. You're not letting some religious person talk you out of it. You're willing to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and use you however He wants to, because you said that you were going to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And if you really mean that, then you do. And you do what He tells you to do. And you say what He tells you to say. And you're not afraid. A week before that prayer meeting, we were again on Wednesday night. This was back on the 16th, August 16th. And I had a vision. And I saw a wave coming in on a coast. And suddenly I knew it was California. And the reason that's significant is because it was that very week that this storm was out in the Pacific, and it came right in on Los Angeles, right in on California, and they're declaring it a hurricane. And I just saw this wave just moving in on the coast of California, and I just spoke up. I didn't know it was a hurricane. I just said, I sense that California is in danger, that we need to pray for California. Now, we always need to pray for California. But beloved, I'm wanting to just teach you a little bit here about the things of the Spirit this morning. And so I didn't know that, but you see, with the wave, with the revelation comes the understanding of what it's about and what to do with it. And we prophesy in part and we know in part, so we don't know everything, but what we do know, we need to be able to speak and put forth so God's people can respond to it. So I just said, I sense that California that is in danger, and there's an intense storm coming in on them. And sure enough, you know, it had been some 80 years since the last kind of storm like that had happened. And as far as a hurricane, it had to go all the way back to 1842 when there was an actual hurricane came in on California's coast. But you know, you see these things and you realize that God is showing you these things so you can share them to the people. So what did we do in the prayer meeting? We prayed against that storm. We prayed against it without knowing. And this was before they had declared anything about a storm or declared anything about a hurricane. But the Holy Spirit can show you things. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in John 16, He will show you things to come. And it's when you begin to walk in the Spirit and you realize that the Holy Spirit can talk to you about these things and give you the things that's on God's heart, rather than we always expressing what's on our heart. He can tell you what's on His heart and move you into an intimate place of friendship. And you look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and you're seeing how God wants to mature us. Paul, did you notice here, there's this progression. There's these five ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And these five gifts, these are human beings, and they're given to the church as gifts from heaven, from the Lord Jesus Himself. And there is a balance to them. Many churches recognize the evangelists and they recognize the pastor, of course, and the teacher. Very few, but it's changing because out of necessity, recognize the apostle and the prophet. But that's being brought back in by the Lord because the prophets are the eyes of the church and the apostles carry an authority of government about them to direct the church, and not just the church, but whole regions. You notice as you're reading in the book of Acts, the apostle Paul, when he went into an area, he just didn't take over a city, as it were, Corinth or Philippi or whatever, wherever he was, Ephesus, but he would take over a whole region by the Spirit. And men and women carry that kind of an authority as they are gifted to do so. So apostles and prophets are very real, and prophets have the ability to see and to warn and to instruct and to know things by the Spirit to tell the church, so let's pray, let's believe together because we can put a stop to this. We can overcome this. This doesn't have to be. And so the Lord is giving these gifts, and He gave them when He ascended on high. And what are they to do? Well, we're told in verse 12 that what they're to do is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The thing they are to do is to equip you. You know what I'm supposed to do? Pastor Phil's supposed to do? Pastor Scott, all of us, we're to equip you for your ministry. Oh, you say, I'm just a Christian. I don't have a ministry. Wrong. You do have a ministry. You're living it out whether you realize it or not. And God is wanting to use you with other human beings. He's wanting to use you in your ministry and your contribution to the church to make her strong. Every ligament, every portion of the church working together as a human body. And the analogy, the metaphor of a human body, you know, this is the way the body of Christ is. And so you're all working. We're all working together. We're all moving in the same direction. In our unity, as Paul speaks here, we're all moving together and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is a great and glorious God and Savior, and that He's coming soon. And we need to be warning the earth, because when He comes for us, it's going to be thumbs up. When He comes back and He deals with the earth, it's going to be thumbs down. And we need to be warning them and telling them these things and living out our lives with our families, in our workplace, in the schools we attend. All of these things matter to Him. They matter to Him. and he's called you to a ministry. So we want to equip you for your ministry, encourage you in the Word of God, encourage you in your prayer lives, encourage you in your fellowship with one another, not to isolate yourself, not to say, oh, I don't need it, but, you know, to enter into the life of the church and to be a part of it and to contribute. You notice here, we are to equip you and we are to build you up. How long? Well, verse 13 tells us, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How long? Till you reach maturity. Matter of fact, until you come to become in the very measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the goal. That is the purpose of what we call the fivefold ministry, to keep encouraging you to keep growing and developing, become ever more spiritual and godly and holy, and manifest the righteousness of Christ to where you choose Him rather than the culture. You choose Him rather than what's going on around you. You say no to the devil. You say no to temptation. You seek by the grace of God and His tender mercies to overcome what comes against you. And you don't allow tests or trials to knock you off your feet, but you're able to regain yourself in Him and then encourage others. And the very comfort that you receive from the Most High God, you're able to comfort others who have gone through or are going through the same thing. You said, is that easy? No, it's not easy, but it is possible. And this is the thing that God is calling you and me, as He did the seven churches in Revelation, to overcome. Because it's the ones who overcome, the ones who conquer, who are going to be recognized as His sons and daughters. And that's you. And you have overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony that you have. So it's walking in these truths like you never have before. It's coming to the very measure, the stature, I love that, of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes. Men are always bringing things against the church. The devil is always using human beings to seek to divide the church, to deceive the church, to negate the power of the church, the presence of the church, the purity of the church. All of these things he's always seeking to bring. And he uses men, and they come cunningly. And there's an element of discernment that you want to keep growing in so you can discern who is serving the Lord and who is not. There are those who have an appearance of godliness, but they deny the power of godliness. There are those who have the appearance of godliness, but they deny the power of godliness. We have people today who have an appearance of godliness, and yet they're telling and saying things from the pulpit that is ungodliness, that is wickedness, that is plainly spoken from the Word of God, that it's sin. And yet they're saying it's okay. They're even putting some in the pulpits. This is a delusion. These are cunning lies. These are deceptions. You want to discern that. You want to stand against that. You don't want to accept that. You don't want to lead your children into that. You say, what's at stake? There's a whole lot at stake. Your soul and theirs. So we keep growing. And notice as we keep growing, and we're growing up in verse 15, we're going to be speaking the truth in love, and we are growing up into Him who is the head, Christ. Who are you growing into? The one you love, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're growing up into Him. You're becoming like Him. You're created in His image. You're beholding His glory and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, all of these things are working together for our good. And how long do we do this? Well, it just from the whole body, it's joined and held together by what every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working together properly, it makes the body grow. And we grow together in love. One of the things that will mark these last days, beloved, is the hate that fills the earth. The hate that will fill the earth. And it's going to be ever more manifest as we move toward the end. And the thing that you want to become is the very opposite. You don't want to become part of the hate. You want to become a part of what Paul says here. You keep growing in love. You keep growing in love. You let the Holy Spirit transform you. Now, there's another passage, and I want to come to it because I'm going to run out of time here. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it tells us, Paul is warning us about the end time. He's very specific about it. And he's telling us that there are all of these different kinds of voices that are wanting to talk to you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he mentions three of these. And Pastor Phil did a great job in handling the way that he shared about them. I just want to quickly point them out to you. In verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or by a spoken word or by a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." Paul says here in verse 2 that what the enemy uses three different tactics. One, it'll be a spirit. And beloved, this can be a man who out of his own spirit is speaking, out of his own mind is speaking. He doesn't carry the word of the Lord. He doesn't have the character, the life behind it to back it. And the one thing that you want to be discerning in these last days is not just what people say, but how do they live? How do they conduct themselves? And so there's a spirit. It can also be a demon talking in your ear, a spirit, a lying spirit talking in your ear, telling you you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, you can't make it, you're lost, you know, all of that. The other thing is by, he said here, by a word. So by spirit, by word, that can come as a sermon, that, like I'm preaching to you. That can be in a book form. We got all the social media, you know, where words are coming. And I just want to tell you, not all those words are coming, even from some that look like they're good, they aren't so good. And you want to be discerning, because the dividing factor, does it line up with the Word of God? If it contradicts the Word of God, it's not from Him. Amen, Pastor Jeff. So, glory. So, by spirit, by word, and then by letter, and that again is the book, the written form, all of these things coming together. So what does the voice of God sound like? Pastor Phil? My wife? Yes. The voice of God sounds like God. Oh, you say you're being redundant. No, the voice of God sounds like God's nature. If I had to say to you, we're talking about the nature of God, God is love. God is light. God is good. God is holy. When the Lord speaks to you, He speaks according to His nature. He is a shepherd, not a cowboy driving the herd, nor a drill sergeant whipping the troops into combat. No, He is a shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That's a shepherd talking to his sheep. And the Lord, when he talks to us, he speaks to us in a number of different ways. The very first is this holy book. You want the voice of God every single day in your life? Right here it is. Every single day. Every single day you're reading from this thing. You're taking your time with this thing. You're meditating on it. You know, you're just absorbing it. Jesus says very plainly, he says, listen, let my word abide in you and you abide in me. And you want to let His Word abide in you, live in you. You want to keep adding it. You know, I've been at this for over 50 years, and I'm still hungry and thirsty. I'm still learning things because I realize the more I learn, the less I know, really. You know, it's just the nature of an infinite God, an infinite loving God, revealing His Son to you. And there's no end to it. And you can read the same passage 100 times, and 100 times the Lord shows you something different out of it. And this is the beauty. So the very first way He talks to you is out of the Word. Beloved, I'm just going to tell you, if you're not in the Word of God, you're really in danger of being fooled in these last days. And don't be substituting what Grandma said or Uncle Schmo said. Don't be substituting what they said. Well, I think the Bible, check it out yourself. Does the Bible say that? Does the Lord say that? Because my opinion, and receive this in love, your opinion does not matter. This is what matters, the Word of God. And so you don't want to be biblically ignorant. You want to be a man and a woman of the Word of God. You want to give yourself to it. Another way the Lord talks to you is definitely by men, by women. The fivefold ministry, Paul, we just gave you that. But it's really a beautiful thing. Paul, in this same letter, 1 Thessalonians, he says, I think chapter 1, chapter 2, he says that, he said, when we preached the Word of God to you, you received it not as the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And you see, the things that I've been saying to you this morning, either that's inside you as a Christian and having the Spirit of truth inside you, either that's, you're going inside, amen. Yeah, that's right. Or if I would say something wrong, you would get a check about it. Boom. Now, right there, you missed it. And a lot of that depends on your knowledge of the Word and your understanding of the Bible and all of that. People set themselves up all the time. They're judging the sermon. Oh, that was a great sermon. I don't think that sermon was real good. You know, I really didn't like the worship. Well, we're not worshiping you. I'm just saying, you know, you grow. You learn. You develop. And so God uses men and women to speak to you. And if you're willing to listen to it, they'll take you far. Because they can tell you of all the things they've gone through they don't want you to go through. There's also that beautiful, still, small voice. Is my slides? What happened to my slides? Do they never get up? Has there been anything up there behind me also? That was it. Oh, well, I had a real surprise for you. But the still small voice, and it's just that. The Lord just very gently and very quietly talks to you. When we moved here this last year, we were looking at the house that we now live in that we bought. And we were in the market to look in a number of different places, and we were looking at this home, and I was going down the back hallway once again and was just thinking about it, and just like I'm talking to you, but inside and very quietly, the Lord said to me, He said, this is the home I have for you. Just that quiet, just that peaceful, this is the home I have for you. And it's proven to be true. We love it. And we so enjoy it. But hearing the voice of the Lord is something that you want to be able to listen to. And so you yourself have to get quiet. Don't let the busyness of the culture and busy, 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 this and that keep you from being alone with the Lord and just sitting with Him and listening. He wants to talk to you. The Lord also can just give you a thought. He can give you an impression. And you're thinking, oh, that's just me. You know, you think, oh, that's just me. I just had this thought. But you weren't thinking it. And suddenly there's this thought in your head, or you have this impression. And we were with some dear, dear friends of ours, and they were telling us of an experience that the dear brother was in the grocery store, and he saw someone of this church who were buying their groceries, and he was getting, you know, like maybe a couple of dollars worth of merchandise, and they were getting 200. And he suddenly had this impression, just like that, this impression, give him some money. Now, you know, you don't get those impressions very often. Give him some money. Give him some money. That's what he did. Later, he found out that that was exactly what they needed. You see, you don't know in the moment. You just respond in the moment. You just give in the moment. You just speak in the moment. You just give in the moment as the Spirit directs you, in a thought and an impression. Give them some money. And then you find out later that's just what they needed. Yeah, there was a book, a famous book called God Winks. And it's when God winks at you. And this dear brother and sister found out that God winked at them after they found out that this sister had needed this money. You know, it works in many different ways, and God is teaching us these things because he wants to quicken us in the Spirit to use us. So it can come just as an impression. And it's very important you understand this, because it's going to increase. It's not going to decrease. The prophetic element, the apostolic, the element of the Holy Spirit in these last days is going to increase. It has to, because wickedness and darkness and deception is on the increase. There is a man of sin who is on the rise, who will deceive the whole world to worship him, to take his mark, and to bow before him. And the Lord says anyone who does that will never see the kingdom of God. No, you want to be very close to your Savior about these things. You want to be near him and walk with him. Let these things develop in your heart. So it can come as a thought. The Lord can give you a picture. If you believe in prophets, then you know that the Lord gives visions. Prophetic people have visions. And, you know, when I saw that wave, I'm not calling myself a prophet, I'm just talking to you. But I saw that wave coming in, and then you prophesy, or you tell the people what it's about, or you give the word of knowledge, and you tell them what's it about. And I saw a roof, you know, raise the roof. I saw a roof, boom. You know, and so the Lord can give you those things, you know, especially if you're in the Word of God and you're a man or a woman of prayer, the Lord can talk to you. And he can show you these things. And it becomes a source of great encouragement and blessing and strength in the lives of others. He can give you dreams. That God has told us out of Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, that in the last days he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Not everybody's got it yet. All flesh. God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And my sons and daughters shall prophesy. My old men will dream dreams, and my young men will have visions. And you have to understand that the Lord is serious about this, because he wants to use you in these marvelous ways. So God can talk to you in a lot of different ways. That's not even all of them, but that is enough. But the thing I want to encourage you about is that when he talks to you, it's according to his nature, because he is a loving, good God. So what doesn't God's voice sound like? Well, it doesn't sound like this. It doesn't sound like he's tempting you to do something, to say something that contradicts his word. If you hear a voice like that, you need to say, get the hints, devil, because that's the devil talking to you. Anything. God cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt any man, says James. So God is never tempting you to do something contrary to his word. You know, there was an old comedian back in the day who's, you know, he was a funny guy, but he got off on this thing where it kind of became his trademark, you know, where he said, well, the devil made me do it. Yeah, no. No, the devil doesn't make you do anything. He can tempt you, but you can say no to that. Hello. So it's very important. Also, if you're hearing a voice that's demanding something of you, sounds angry, condemning, it's condemning you, you're not worthy. Oh, my child, you have committed the unpardonable sin. Do you know, as a pastor, how many precious people I've had to convince that they did not commit the unpardonable sin? I've had to tell them, listen, the very fact you're telling me that you think you've committed the unpardonable sin and your heart is broken proves you haven't committed that sin. Because those who do commit that sin couldn't care less. Yeah, UPS, unpardonable sin. And you have to convince them. You know, and you're always encouraging them in the things of the Lord. You want them to grow stronger so that they're not overtaken by those kind of lies from the devil. But because he's a liar. So if you got something whispering in your ear that contradicts the Word of God, that contradicts the nature of God, you need to say, get thee hence, Satan, because that is not the voice of the Lord and that's not him. Because when he talks to you, he's going to speak to you truth and love. Now, he'll be firm. He'll be absolutely truthful. Sometimes you'll just have to gird up your loins and get yourself straightened out because he's saying, I don't want you to say that again. How do I know? But it's very important you understand this. I'm making it a little light because I don't want some of you to pass out. It's just that it's so important you understand that, beloved, there is more to Christianity than what you've experienced, and the Lord wants to bring you into it. I'm always thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given me. Lord, give me more. Do you pray like that? Lord, I thank you for all that you have given me. Lord, thank you. Give me more. Because my one aim and my one desire is to build up his church. I seek to excel, and I hope this becomes a part of your heart, like Pastor Phil, Pastor Scott, Brent, Rob. You know, we elders, you know, we want to excel in edifying and building you up. You know, as a part of all these different ministries with the youth and children, you know, of the DC groups, to excel in building the church up, his precious body. I just had such a sense last night of how precious this is, that the weight of Jesus' suffering and blood is upon us to get this right, to teach you right, to instruct you right, to encourage you right, to take a bold but loving stand for what is truth, and to speak it in truth, and to live it, and not to dismiss sin, not to compromise with this culture or with the earth because it's passing away and the sin thereof, the lust thereof. But we would stand faithful and true. So the thing that the Lord wants to do are three things in closing. Number one, he wants to make you exceedingly, he wants you to be exceedingly hungry for him. As the deer, the little desert deer pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Is that you? Is your soul panting for thirsting for him, hungering for him? Because you see what happens if you do that, if you will draw nigh to God, we're told in James he will draw nigh to you, and he draws you right in. And then you find yourself in the presence of the Lord, and it's holy. And it's holy. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall make his name known? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. It's holiness. So we have this hunger, and it brings us into a place of holiness in his presence, just like you feel right now. And then because of that, you realize you're happy. You're finally happy in your life. Nobody, nothing, not a new gun, not a new husband, none of that. doesn't make you happy. You know what makes you happy? Him. In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. And you finally discover the source of joy and peace is being in His presence and His holiness, because you're hungering and you're seeking after Him. Those who come to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him, said the Hebrew writer in chapter 11. You have to believe that God is after your heart, and He is, and He's always calling you to Himself, and He wants you to come up higher. God is raising the roof. He's bringing His people up higher. John in Revelation chapter 4, after seeing Christ in chapter 1 and the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3, in chapter 4, the very first thing is he hears a voice, and that voice is saying, come up higher. Come up here. Can you hear that voice? Come up here. The Apostle Paul had it, knowing that I haven't attained, but I am moving toward the upward call in Christ Jesus. And so there is this thing that God works in our hearts to mature us, to change us. And the primary way is by listening to His voice and denying the other one, not allowing the enemy to talk you out of the preciousness of the Lord.